Hello, I'm R.A. Spratt. I write and perform this podcast. If you'd like to support the show, I'm a children's author, so you can buy a book by me, or you can buy me a coffee by going to buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. It's an easy way to make a small thank you gift to the show so I can keep kicking this can down the road. The podcast directory you're using right now should have a link to my Buy Me a Coffee page in the show notes, or you can type it into your browser. That's buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. All contributions are gratefully appreciated. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Well, I'm back home this week. Last week's episode I recorded in my Perth hotel room. So if you're wondering why that episode sounded different, it was because I was in a different room and different rooms sound different. This week I am back home, but you may notice if you listen carefully, can you hear that? That's the pitter-patter of rain on my skylight. So there's not much I can do about that except wait until it stops raining. And I'm not going to do that. I'm too impatient. I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you. The other thing I need to talk to you about is I've got a bit of an event coming up because my new book, Shockingly Good Stories, which is based on this podcast, is going to be coming out, I think it's the 2nd of July. So I have an event coming up in Sydney, Australia to celebrate that. I'm going to say it's the 8th of July. It's definitely at Glee Books in Sydney from 10 till 11:30 a.m. I'll be taking questions. I'll probably do a live record of a new special Fractured Fairy Tale just for that event. So if you are anywhere near Sydney, please do come along. They will announce close to the time details of how you can register because we've all got to register for these things to be COVID safe these days. So I'll have more details close to the time, but it is a day in the holidays. So if you want to pencil that in for coming and seeing me live, please do. Okay, now let's get into this week's story. So this week, I'm going to read you a chapter out of one of my books. So this is from Nanny Piggins and the Runaway Lion, which is the third book in the series. And I'm going to read chapter 2. And the story is called Nanny Piggins Joins Neighborhood Watch. Here we go. It was the middle of the night, and Nanny Piggins was standing alone in the dark in the middle of the front garden. But do not worry, nothing bad had happened. Quite the contrary, Nanny Piggins was playing a wonderful game of Spotlight with the children. To play Spotlight, everyone has to dress up in black, then smear dark chocolate all over their faces for camouflage and hands, and then one person stands in the middle of the yard with a flashlight while everyone else hides in the dark bushes. The idea is to rush up and tag the person holding the flashlight before they can spot you. Nanny Piggins was incredibly good at this game, as indeed she was at most games, because she had a huge advantage. Her sense of smell was so good, she could sniff out anyone coming with her eyes closed, so she could easily detect Michael trying to sneak up on her from behind. She was just about to spin around and shine the flashlight in his face when, from somewhere down the street, she heard a noise. "What was that?" asked Nanny Piggins, at the precise moment when Michael launched himself at her. Nanny Piggins stepped sideways to have a look down the street. As a result, Michael missed her and crash-tackled Derek, who was running forward to tag his nanny from the front. Then Samantha landed on top of them both because she had climbed a tree just so she could drop on Nanny Piggins from above. "Shh," said Nanny Piggins as the children picked themselves up. "There's something going on down the street." "But it's 3 o'clock in the morning," said Derek disapprovingly. "And it's a school night," said Samantha, even more disapprovingly. "Exactly," said Nanny Piggins. "There can be no good reason for anyone to be out on the street at this hour." "Unless they're playing Spotlight with their nanny," suggested Michael. "I doubt that's the case," said Nanny Piggins. "Other nannies do not seem to share my dedication to duty. They always want to sleep at night, whereas I see the job as a 24-hour responsibility." Nanny Piggins and the children peered down the street, where they could see torches flashing about and hear the low murmur of voices. Oh, I should point out that in Australia we call flashlights torches, whereas I know in America when you say torches you think of something like a stick with a burning flame on top. So if that's what you're visualising, stop right now and imagine a flashlight. "Okay, it could just be people coming home late," said Samantha. In this neighbourhood, scoffed Nanny Piggins. All the people who live here are too boring. They're all in bed by 10:30. I know that for a fact, because when I knock on their doors asking to borrow some chocolate at 1 o'clock in the morning, they always have to get out of bed to come and give it to me. No, it's obviously a gang of burglars. Should we call the police? Asked Derek. I suppose, grumbled Nanny Piggins begrudgingly, though I don't see why they should hog all the fun. You know the police sergeant doesn't like it when you make citizens' arrests, Samantha reminded her nanny. Yes, he's a spoilsport, grumbled Nanny Piggins. Nanny Piggins had not forgiven the police sergeant for telling her off after she brought into the police station a woman she had citizens arrested for wearing shoes that did not match her handbag. Michael, you run into the house and phone the police. Michael ran back inside. Nanny Piggins turned to Derek and Samantha. Obviously, we can't let the burglars get away before the police get here, so we'll just have to set up an ambush. I can't ambush anyone. I'm only 9, protested Samantha. That's why I'm giving you the most important job, said Nanny Piggins. It's your responsibility to hold all my chocolate while I climb the tree and drop on them. It would be terrible if someone got burgled, but the real tragedy would be if something bad happened to one of my chocolate bars. So Samantha minded the 27 chocolate bars her nanny had stashed about her person, while Nanny Piggins shinnied up the tree. Once she was in position, Nanny Piggins crawled back down. Now, Derek, when they come up the street, you step out in front of them and ask them for directions to the cinema. Then I'll take care of the rest. The gang of burglars slowly made their way up the road, flashing their torches into people's gardens and muttering amongst themselves. They're nearly here, whispered Derek. Oh, I think I'm going to faint, whispered Samantha. Eat one of the chocolate bars, advised Nanny Piggins. The burglars drew alongside the greenhouse and flashed their torches about the yard. Now, hissed Nanny Piggins. Derek leapt out of the bush and onto the footpath, saying, Good evening. I was wondering if you could tell me the way to the nearest... Yeah! Screamed Nanny Piggins as she threw herself out of Mr. Green's tree and knocked the whole gang of burglars down like a strike in 10-pin bowling. I am arresting you on behalf of the citizens of this street, you naughty burglars. You should be thoroughly ashamed of yourselves for breaking into people's homes at 3 o'clock in the morning and on a school night too. Said one of the burglars. It was hard to understand what he was saying because his face was pressed into the footpath and Nanny Piggins was sitting on his back. I think the burglar's trying to tell you something, said Samantha, as she ate her second chocolate bar in an attempt to keep hysterics at bay. They probably want to bribe us with a cut of their loot, said Nanny Piggins knowledgeably. So we should hear them out just in case they've recently broken into a cake factory. Nanny Piggins got to her feet, which allowed the burglars the opportunity to sit up. There were 3 of them, 1 woman and 2 men. They were all smartly dressed, and surprisingly, they were all over the age of 60. Gosh, said Derek, I never knew burglars could be so old. Nanny Piggins stood over the would-be thieves and gave them a piece of her mind. Shame on you. At your age, you shouldn't be breaking into houses. You should be committing more genteel crimes, such as fraud. But we're not burglars, said the elderly woman. That's what all the burglars say, said Nanny Piggins, rolling her eyes. We're the local neighbourhood watch patrol, said one of the elderly men. I don't care what your gang is called, said Nanny Piggins. I'm not impressed. Nanny Piggins, interrupted Derek, Neighbourhood Watch isn't a gang. It's a group of community-minded people who patrol the streets and watch their neighbours' houses. Burglars and peeping toms. This gets worse and worse, said Nanny Piggins. No, we're trying to stop burglars, explained the elderly woman. So I'm not going to get to make a citizen's arrest? Asked a disappointed Nanny Piggins. No, said Derek. What a relief, said Samantha, as she finished off her 4th chocolate bar. The 3 members of the Neighbourhood Watch Patrol got to their feet, which took some time and a certain amount of groaning because they were old. We could use a pig like you in Neighbourhood Watch, said the elderly woman. I'm Valerie DeVas, captain of the local branch. This is Tom and Stanley. Nanny Piggins shook hands with them all. No hard feelings about me smashing you into the footpath, then? Asked Nanny Piggins. Not at all, said Valerie. It's good to meet a resident who's prepared to really tackle crime. And being ambushed from time to time is excellent training. It keeps us on our toes. You should come along to our next neighbourhood watch meeting, suggested Stanley. I don't know, said Nanny Piggins. I don't approve of organisations. If you join, you get a free torch, said Tom. Said Nanny Piggins. She did like torches. And we're having a self-defence lesson this week, said Stanley. Will there be wrestling? Asked Nanny Piggins. I should think so, said Valerie. Then we'll be there, exclaimed Nanny Piggins. Nanny Piggins was just about to shake Valerie's hand when the police arrived and arrested them all, even though it was 3:15 in the morning and on a school night. Nanny Piggins eventually got them all released by using the police station kitchen to bake a cake. The police soon agreed that anyone who could make such a light, fluffy and delicious sponge could not be a criminal and let them all go. Nanny Piggins was very excited when she took the children along to the neighbourhood watch meeting that Thursday night. She had worn her hot pink lycra wrestling leotard in anticipation. Nanny Piggins owned this spectacular piece of clothing because she had enjoyed a brief stint as a professional wrestler during her time at the circus. But she had to go back to being blasted out of a cannon after just 2 short weeks because she ran out of people willing to wrestle her. Even the strong man was no match for her flying leg lock or chomping teeth hold. Nanny Piggins had brought Boris along as well. He was not as good at wrestling as his sister, but he was very good at sitting on people until it was their turn to be wrestled. So Nanny Piggins was rather disappointed when she arrived and discovered that the neighbourhood watch consisted of a room full of middle-aged and elderly concerned citizens, many of them wearing cardigans. "Do you think they're wearing wrestling leotards under their cardigans?" asked Nanny Piggins hopefully. "Oh, from the look of these people, you'd have to wrestle them to get them to take their cardigans off," said Boris. Even the self-defence instructor was unimpressive. He was a slightly overweight man of about 50 who taught techniques that emphasised avoiding violence, not instigating it. "But attack is the best defence," argued Nanny Piggins. "No, it's not," argued the self-defence instructor. "Do you want to bet?" challenged Nanny Piggins. "Defend yourself against this, then!" With which she hurled herself at his shins. It took her just 3 seconds to have him pressed into the mat in a total body lock. "Where did you learn those techniques?" asked the self-defence instructor. "You could hurt someone!" "I know they're good, aren't they?" said Nanny Piggins. After they'd sent the self-defence instructor home, and Nanny Piggins had taught the group some really useful self-defence skills, the neighbourhood watch held their meeting. Nanny Piggins and the children stayed, partly to be polite and partly because there was a large tray of donuts on a side table to which anyone could help themselves. "There were 2 more break-ins last night after our patrol finished," said Valerie. "We really need to get up more patrols. The burglars are just working out what times we aren't on the streets and striking then. Who can volunteer for more duties?" No one put their hand up. "I need my rest," said one woman. "My grandchildren are visiting over the weekend. It always takes me 2 weeks to recover." "I can't take any more time away from my roses," said another man. "They get jealous if they think I'm seeing other plants." "And I can't," said a very wrinkly old man, "because I don't want to, and I'm too old to be doing things I don't want to do." "Perhaps our new members would like to help," said Valerie, as she looked meaningfully at Nanny Piggins. Samantha nudged her nanny, and Nanny Piggins looked up from the 5 jam-filled donuts she was trying to fit into her mouth all at once. "Mmph," asked Nanny Piggins. "We'd really appreciate your help," said Valerie. "All you need to do is walk the streets with a torch and check on everyone's homes." Nanny Piggins swallowed the donuts and spoke with as much dignity as a pig covered in icing and sugar can muster. "You're asking me to go around the neighbourhood at night looking into people's homes with a torch?" "Yes," said Valerie. "Of course I'll do it," said Nanny Piggins. "I love spying on people and violating their privacy. When do we start?"
"Tomorrow night," said Valerie.
Hey, parents.
Yeah, you.
Are you looking for a podcast your kids will really love?
Well, we made one just for you.
And for us.
As genuine, all-natural kids ourselves, we know what makes a fun and interesting podcast.
So we decided to make it ourselves. Every show is packed with interviews, stories, and on-the-ground reporting.
We have interviewed everyone from scientists to Grammy Award-winning musicians to NFL quarterbacks.
Listen to Wild Interest wherever you get your podcasts.
It took some time for the children and Boris to persuade Nanny Piggins that her all-black outfit and chocolate-smeared face were not necessary for performing a neighbourhood watch patrol. "The idea is the burglars do see you and keep away," said Derek. "But if they see me, I'll lose the element of surprise when I attack," argued Nanny Piggins. "You know you promised the police, Sergeant, you would stop attacking people, regardless of the crimes against fashion you think they are committing," said Boris. "I only said that so he'd take off the handcuffs," muttered Nanny Piggins. "All right, I'll change." When Nanny Piggins emerged from her bedroom a few moments later, she was wearing her hot pink wrestling leotard. The children did not know what to say. "There's nothing wrong with this outfit, is there?" challenged Nanny Piggins. "Well, the burglars will certainly be able to see you coming," agreed Derek. "And when they do, they'll definitely stay away," added Michael. "But you're not planning to do any actual wrestling tonight, are you?" asked Samantha. If a nanny was going to attack criminals, she would need to take extra supplies of recuperative chocolate. "No, I have no plans, but it is best to be prepared," said Nanny Piggins airily as she picked up her official Neighbourhood Watch torch and set out into the streets. It turned out that Neighbourhood Watch patrolling was nowhere near as glamorous as Nanny Piggins had hoped. In the first 5 minutes of their patrol, they encountered no jewel thieves, kidnappers, or even pirates. And Nanny Piggins did not even have much fun spying on her neighbours. Word had got about that she'd joined the Neighbourhood Watch, so everyone in the local area had been sure to draw their curtains, lock their doors, and make sure all the roof tiles were securely attached to their roofs. They did have some fun going through Mrs. McGill's rubbish bins and counting out all the empty bottles, and Nanny Piggins had enjoyed catching Mr. Mahmood's cat, then kicking in his back door to return it to him. But on the whole, walking the streets in the middle of the night was a little dull. When Nanny Piggins had agreed to become involved in crime prevention, she'd assumed there would be some crime to prevent. Fortunately, however, she did not have to wait much longer before a serious infringement came to her attention. They were walking along a street when they began to hear a loud throbbing noise. "What on earth is that noise?" asked Nanny Piggins. "It's some sort of dreadful pulsing sound," said Boris. "Perhaps an evil scientist is testing some kind of doomsday device somewhere in the neighbourhood," suggested Nanny Piggins hopefully.
"No, I think it's just someone having a party. That's music," said Derek.
"Music!" exclaimed Nanny Piggins.
"Surely not!" exclaimed Boris.
"Music has a melody and rhythm," said Nanny Piggins.
"And it sounds nice," added Boris.
"But that is just a dreadful droning noise," said Nanny Piggins.
"It's like a headache coming from the outside of your head," agreed Boris.
"A lot of people like music that sounds like that," explained Samantha.
"Really?" said a bewildered Nanny Piggins.
"Well, then, we'll just have to put a stop to that. Come along."
Nanny Piggins marched purposefully in the direction of the party noise.
"Should we stop her?" asked Samantha.
"Do you think we could?" asked Michael.
So they all hurried after Nanny Piggins, not wanting to miss out on the scene that was sure to follow. Nanny Piggins knocked loudly on the front door of the house emitting the music and then took a few steps back, getting ready to do a flying sidekick to smash her way in, when the door swung open.
"Hello," said the youth who answered the door.
"I am Nanny Piggins of Neighbourhood Watch," said Nanny Piggins boldly, not in the least self-conscious that she was wearing a hot pink wrestling leotard.
"Oh, sorry, do you want us to turn down the music?" asked the youth.
"I do not," said Nanny Piggins. "This is a party, isn't it?"
Yes, admitted the youth.
"Then it would be wrong to have quiet music," said Nanny Piggins.
"No, on behalf of Neighbourhood Watch and music lovers everywhere, I am ordering you to play better music."
"But this song is number 3 on the dance charts," protested the youth.
"Pish," said Nanny Piggins. "Out of my way. I can see I shall have to deal with this personally."
Nanny Piggins pushed past the youth, entered the house, found the stereo, and removed the offending CD. This story was written about 10 years ago, when CDs were how people played music. I know that's going to be shocking for children who are listening and who are used to devices, but that's what we did in the olden days. We had CDs. They were literally discs, and they held music on them. Anyway, that's how we lived in the past. Let's continue with the story.
"Boris, find me some real music."
Boris was already scanning the CD collection.
"They don't have any. It's all alternative dance music. Indie rock and that dreadful wailing music young women listen to when they've broken up with their boyfriends."
"This is more serious than I realised," said Nanny Piggins. "Derek, fetch me the phone."
Nanny Piggins turned to address the crowd of partygoers.
"Don't panic, people. We'll soon have this sorted out."
Within 15 minutes, an Argentinian milonga band, who owed Nanny Piggins a favour — she had helped them escape Argentina during the dictatorship by firing them into Bolivia with her cannon — had arrived and started playing tango music. Nanny Piggins then proceeded to teach all 200 of the young partygoers how to do real dancing.
It ended up being the best party any of them had ever been to. Even the stroppiest and sullenest of the young people started to brighten up when they listened to actual good music, played well by real musicians instead of a computer. They all danced until dawn and ate the cupcakes Nanny Piggins baked for them for breakfast before the party broke up and everyone headed home to get dressed for school. So Nanny Piggins was tangoing down the street with Derek while Boris carried Samantha and a very sleepy Michael when they turned the corner and spotted Valerie from the neighbourhood watch standing outside their house waiting for them.
"Good morning," called Nanny Piggins. "We had a wonderful patrol last night. I didn't have to wrestle with anybody." Which just goes to show, wearing a hot pink wrestling leotard can be preventative. The rest of the neighbourhood watch should consider adopting them as their uniform. But Valerie did not appear to be impressed.
"While you were out on patrol last night, there were 7 break-ins."
"But we didn't see anything," said Nanny Piggins.
"Were you out on the street looking for crime?" asked Valerie.
"Well, no, we went into a home to prevent crime against music," admitted Nanny Piggins.
"You neglected your duties," accused Valerie. "You let the neighbourhood down."
"But they were playing really dreadful music," protested Nanny Piggins. "Surely that is a greater crime than someone stealing a few material goods."
"They stole Mrs. Cuthbert's massaging foot bath," said Valerie.
"No," gasped Nanny Piggins, Boris, and the still conscious children. Michael was fast asleep.
"These thieves are heartless," said Nanny Piggins.
"I am officially throwing you out of Neighbourhood Watch," announced Valerie. "Hand in your torch."
Valerie held out her hand expectantly.
"But," protested Nanny Piggins. "No buts," said Valerie.
"But I left the torch at the party," said Nanny Piggins.
"Typical," said Valerie, with which she turned on her heel and stalked away. The children and Boris held their breaths, waiting for Nanny Piggins' response. It was not as explosive as they were expecting, but that only made it more frightening.
"Tonight, I shall get revenge," said Nanny Piggins. "Revenge on the burglars for daring to break into houses on the night of my patrol. And revenge against the neighbourhood watch for daring to throw me out of their organisation, which, I might add, I would never even have joined in the first place if I had not been plied with so many free jam-filled doughnuts."
That night, Nanny Piggins again donned her all-black clothes and chocolate-smeared face. She then paid a visit to Miss Smith, the elderly spinster next door, and borrowed the horn from her gramophone. Just so you know, children, a gramophone is even older than a CD player. It's older than a record player. It's what people used, like, in the way distant past. Like, my grandparents may have had a gramophone, so that's a really old technology.
"What are you going to use that for?" asked Derek.
"You know how in the olden days deaf people used to use an ear horn to aid their hearing?" asked Nanny Piggins.
"Well, I am going to use this as a nose horn so I can amplify my already extraordinary sense of smell to track down these naughty burglars."
"You're going to sniff the burglars out?" asked Michael.
"Precisely," said Nanny Piggins. "Come along, there's no time to lose."
So Nanny Piggins, Boris and the children again took to the streets, this time following Nanny Piggins as she sniffed through the gramophone horn.
"Can you smell anything?" asked Michael.
"There is an odour of mischief coming from that direction," said Nanny Piggins, pointing towards the end of the street. She closed her eyes and continued sniffing, and the others followed her. They followed Nanny Piggins to the top of the street, around the corner, across the park, down an alley, over a footbridge, and into another street.
"Stop," said Nanny Piggins.
"What is it?" asked Derek.
"Can't you smell it?" asked Nanny Piggins.
"There is someone on the roof at the end of the block, trying to climb down through the chimney."
"Santa?" asked Boris hopefully.
"No," said Nanny Piggins, sniffing again. "A burglar."
As the children squinted into the darkness, they could just make out the even darker shape of someone standing on a roof.
"Derek, use that call box to telephone the police. Tell them I'm about to make a citizen's arrest," said Nanny Piggins, as she marched purposely towards the house.
"But how?" asked Michael.
"You will be careful, won't you?" worried Samantha.
"Pish," said Nanny Piggins, as she started to climb a nearby tree. "It's that burglar who's going to wish he was more careful."
"Are you going to drop on him when he walks past?" asked Michael.
He enjoyed it when his nanny ambushed people, particularly when it was the milkman. She was always attacking him whenever he left skim milk by mistake.
"No, I've got a better idea," said Nanny Piggins. "Boris,
Grab this branch I'm sitting on and pull it down to the ground.
All right, said Boris. Being 10 foot tall and weighing 700 kilograms meant that pulling down a large tree branch was easy for him.
Now let go, ordered Nanny Piggins.
Are you sure? Asked Boris.
Just do it, said Nanny Piggins.
Okay, said Boris, letting go of the branch so that it whipped back up and hurled Nanny Piggins high into the air.
Wow, exclaimed Michael. What have I done? Exclaimed Boris. Hand me some chocolate before I faint, exclaimed Samantha.
Nanny Piggins shot up into the night sky, over the gable of the roof, and came down with a crash right on top of the burglar, then immediately started wrestling. Fortunately, Nanny Piggins had her hot pink lycra leotard on under her black clothing, because the burglar was surprisingly good. Someone had obviously taught him some first-rate techniques. But Nanny Piggins won easily when they both fell off the roof and into a hydrangea bush, and Nanny Piggins used her superior aerial ability to ensure that she landed on top.
"You are under citizen's arrest," said Nanny Piggins.
Moaned the burglar.
"Hooray!" said Boris and the children as they rushed forward to check that Nanny Piggins was all right.
"How dare you steal from a nice person's home," chided Nanny Piggins. "But more importantly, how dare you humiliate me in front of the neighbourhood watch by stealing on the night of my patrol?" And with this, she pulled the ski mask off the burglar's face and then recoiled in shock.
"Valerie Darvas!" exclaimed Nanny Piggins,
for beneath the ski mask was, indeed, the captain of the neighbourhood watch.
"You silly pig," ranted Valerie. "I've been getting away with robbing the houses in this neighbourhood for years, using neighbourhood watch as my cover, and now you've ruined everything. I only invited you to join because I thought a pig would be the perfect patsy to my schemes."
In the distance, they could hear the sound of a siren as the police approached.
"Well, I hope you've learned your lesson," said Boris. "Never, ever cross a flying pig."
The police soon dragged Valerie away. The police sergeant was so grateful to Nanny Piggins for solving Valerie's one-woman crime wave, 681 burglaries over a 23-year period, that he gave Nanny Piggins permission to make as many citizens' arrests for crimes against fashion as she liked for a whole week. Nanny Piggins planned to go down to the school the next morning and round up all the teachers. It turned out that the free torch given away by Neighbourhood Watch to all new members actually contained a secret satellite tracking device, and that is how Valerie knew exactly where each Neighbourhood Watch patrol was and where she could strike. If she had not been evil, Nanny Piggins would almost have admired her.
"Have you ever considered joining the police force and being trained to make arrests properly?" asked the police sergeant.
"Oh, no," said Nanny Piggins. "It's much more fun to be an amateur who dabbles. If I was arresting criminal masterminds every night, it would get tedious eventually."
"And it wouldn't be fair on the criminals," added Boris. "They'd all be in jail all the time."
And so Nanny Piggins, Boris and the children celebrated by playing another game of spotlight in the backyard. They could not use their neighbourhood watch torch because it was now in police custody as evidence. But they did insist that Nanny Piggins wear her hot pink leotard to give the rest of them a sporting chance of tagging her. The end. All right, well, don't forget the event coming up on the 8th of July at Glee Books in Sydney if you want to come to the launch of Shockingly Good Stories, the book based on this podcast. And apart from that, to support this podcast, just buy a book by me, R.A. Spratt. There's lots to choose from across the Friday Barnes, Nanny Piggins and Pesky Kids series, and shortly, Shockingly Good Stories. It's available for pre-order now and goes on sale the 2nd of July. You can order any of these things through your local bookstore or go to my website, raspratt.com, and click on the book depository banner. They have all my titles and free international shipping. Until next time, goodbye.